Okay, well, here we go with another verse. Woo-woo! This is just, I have to tell you, this is, it's not arduous, but it's like, how can anybody go through, let's say, the book of Ephesians in 6 weeks? There is just no way. Or even maybe 6 months, I don't know. But I'm just going through this, and you can't just rush through these, because these words that point to it, and you'll see today why it's important to look up the word, which is probably a good little advertisement about the Bible study that we've been doing on Wednesday nights. Because we presume certain things when we read a word, and yet when you look it up, it's like it totally changes the whole structure of what it's saying. So like today, Ephesians 1:10. We're now into that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, but both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Okay? It's like, okay. So, when you think of the word dispensation, what do you think of? Dispense. Well, I guess that's true. Well, look, dispensation, when we went into seminary, was that there were certain periods or dispensations that God worked upon the earth, and that was a way that many denominations explained away that the gifts were done for today. The dispensation of, let's say, the gifts of the Spirit or the speaking in tongues, that was a dispensation, and now it's over. Completion, yeah. It's a period that's completed. And so they split up the whole epochs of God into 12 dispensations, and we're in like the grace dispensation or whatever. But that's how non-spirit-filled churches explain away the movement of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, all that kind of stuff, because it was a dispensation, and it was when the apostles died out, that dispensation was over with. That's what that word meant. That's not the word here. That is not the word here. So you have to look up what does dispensation mean. So that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, it refers to the management of one's household, oversee, administration, and stewardship. That's what that word means. So the management of one's household. And poor Rose is writing down different things, and I'm going to ask her to hand out this little handout that I gave her. But I just thought of this picture that we've had for years, and when you get it, you'll go, oh my goodness gracious. But this is the management of one's household, and it was a picture in Life magazine of a lady who did all these, you can hand it out now, and Paul can help you. A picture of Life magazine, a lady with laundry, and this is exactly what this gal put together of what she did each and every week. Each and every week. That's about right, okay? So I'll just read it. Yeah, just what do you do all day? That condescending question has irritated housewives ever since the first husband showed up at the cave after 8 hours of mastodon hunting. Men have long resisted the notion that women's work, as homemaking was called in the primitive times, is real work. But in June 1947, Nina Lean struck a major blow for enlightenment. Her photo, a traditional life cast of thousands pictures, showing the vastness of an enterprise by assembling all the people or stuff involved, presented the material record of one homemaker's weekly toil. 35 beds made, 175 pounds of food prepared, 250 pieces of clothing laundried, 750 items of dishware scrubbed. In the post-war era, when millions of women were leaving factories for the home front, the fact that they remained productive citizens qualified as news. So I look at, here's one homemaker after the war, all the stuff that she does, and this is the management of her household. This is her administrating. This is her stewardship. This is how she oversaw her household. Can imagine what God has to do. So there's a visual for you. That's what it means. the dispensation of the fullness of time. So God administrates the seasons towards the fullness of times. So if you can picture in your head a time-lapse photography and picture what we're going through right now with the leaves falling off the trees and the branches are basically dead. And then winter sets in, right? And everything's cold and nothing's growing. And then all of a sudden spring comes and you get the blossom. And the blossom falls off and the fruit starts to grow. And then the fruit grows on the branches and the branches bend over. And then harvest time comes. Okay? That's the picture that we have here. The seasons towards the fullness of times. Now, the completeness of the seasons, there's two prominent characters in God's time clock. One is Israel. And the other one is the church. Israel is the chosen nation. God chose the Israelis out, the Hebrews out, of all the different nations. And it says, not because that you were more than others, not because you were mighty, not because you were holy, but because I chose you. And then the church. We're also his chosen people. Now we've already looked at, right? That he chose us out in him. Satan will try to thwart both of these as we draw near to the end of the age. He's picking on the bride, and he's picking on Israel. Two things. Because he knows his time's short when he sees these things. Israel. Joel 3, 2-3. Listen to this. On account of my people, my heritage Israel. Okay? His heritage. They have divided up my land. And then verse 4 says, if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head. Now, I don't know if you know this, but we, the administration, is trying to force Israel to dividing up the land. And all you have to do is get this book, Eye to Eye. It's by a Reuters newspaper reporter who traced all the way from the establishment of Israel in 1947 is when it was established and they declared their independence in 48, all the way through to today. And every time that we have tried to pressure Israel to give up land, something's happened in our land. And I remember I showed you that picture, well, the Gaza, when we forced the Gaza Strip to be given over to the Palestinians, and that was exactly when Katrina hit, and the square miles that it was affected was the exact square miles that was affected by Katrina. Okay? So just get that book. It's a fascinating little book. Well, I don't know if you know this, but now the pressure is for Israel to sign a lease agreement. To sign a lease agreement for the West Bank. That it's really Palestinian land, but they've said that you can sign it for 99 years. Well, listen, when you lease something from somebody, who owns it? The lessor. So basically what they're saying is, this is really Palestine's land, and we want Israel to sign a lease agreement. Not a good idea. That's going on right now. If you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head. Now the church, look at the fig tree budding in 1948. Remember Jesus in Luke 21:29, he says, you know that the kingdom of God is near. This generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. And he talked about the fig tree. Well, the fig tree was always a sign of Israel, the nation. Fig tree blossoming. Well, I don't know how you are in math, but if you take 1947 and you put 70 years on it, just about right there. It says, by no means this generation will pass away until all these things take place. So by the fullness of when is when the succession of seasons has come to a close in God's plan. The succession of seasons. So where do you think we are season-wise? Maybe late August, early September, right before the stuff starts falling off the trees. Because that's when the harvest is. And we did topical studies this summer, remember? We looked at, you know, the fallacy of the pre-trib rapture, and then we went down the signs of Jesus' second coming, and if you're scared, you're not prepared, the whole thing. So you can get those if you want. Just ask Steve, and we'll run them off for you. So The fullness of times is when the succession of seasons has come to a close in God's plan. We are still in the season of maturing. We're coming to a season of harvest. Because the season of harvest is the Messianic kingdom. And that would be the time that Jesus would come back. Everybody got real quiet. So, what's the purpose? It says the gathering together in one, all things in Christ. So this regathering and restoration to that former condition when all things were in perfect harmony and unity. When was that? Before sin. I mean, we're talking way back. 6,000 years, way back. Before sin. So Adam and Eve, the garden, creation, the whole thing. And it says in Romans 8:21, it says, even the creation groans. Groans for the restoration. So that's why we're gathering together. Gathering together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth. So, set free the creation and the created. And it's kind of like this, now and not yet. There's things that are going on now, what? Us, redemption, right? Us, sanctification, all that kind of stuff. But not yet. It's not yet. Getting there. And who is it accomplished through? Jesus. It has to be through him. See? Because that's what it says. It says what? Gathering together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and earth. So he is the head. It says that in Colossians. He's the head over all rule and authority. Okay? And it centers around the work of the cross and the redemption of his people. It's amazing, I mean, if you can picture this, God is outside of time and space, okay? So let's say this is when, in the beginning, God created, and then this is over here, is when the trumpet sounds. So God sits above time and space. So to him, what does the cross mean? Is it a point and period of time? Yes, it is to us because we're in time space. He's outside of time space. So every time somebody accepts his son, it's fresh to him because it's right there. He sees it right now. And I know this sounds like kind of spooky and kind of ethereal, but that's exactly what God sees. He's out of time and space. And so for him, it's as fresh as it was 2,000 years ago. So, it centers around the work on the cross and the redemption of his people. Now, I want you to think about this. Our Lord always wins for us the opposite of what he suffered for us. He always wins for us the opposite of what he suffered for us. It's like, what? It sounds like an enigma. Think about it. Our Lord always wins for us the opposite of what he suffered for us. So he was bound to what? Set us free. He was bound and led to the cross for what? For our freedom, eventually. He was made sin, right? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. That what? We might become the righteousness of God. Are you catching this now? He wins for us the opposite of what he suffered for us. So, he was made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He was whipped, and it says, by his stripes we're what? Healed, right? That we might be healed. He died that what? We would live in him. See how this is going? You get the better end of the deal. He did all these things so that it was for us. He bore the curse, right? Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He bore the curse for what? That we'd be blessed. Now, I want you to think about this one because it's kind of like, his prayer was not answered in the garden. Remember? Father, nevertheless, right? With this cup would pass me by, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, right? So his prayer was not answered that what? Our prayers would be answered. You catch that? So, we'll go back over it. He always wins for us the opposite of what he suffered for us. He was bound to set us free. We just went over them, so you can tell. Okay? He was made sin that we might be righteous, right? He was whipped in his stripes that we would be healed, right? He died that we might live in him. He bore the curse that would be blessed, okay? And his prayer was not answered, so ours would be answered. What a wonderful Savior. That's what Dr. Mitchell always says. What a wonderful Savior. Think about it. He did all that stuff for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, remember? While we were enemies, Christ died for us. So, what's the principle for us? Okay, if he wins for us the opposite of what he suffered for us, okay, the principle is we need to move in the opposite spirit from what is coming at us. Think about it. Accusation comes at you. Are you supposed to accuse back? Right? Evil for evil relationship. So when accusation comes at you, what does it say? Bless those that curse you. Pride, humility. Okay, so if pride's coming at you, are you supposed to rise up too? No, supposed to be humble, right? Hey, this is no easy task for me. I'm just telling you. This is not like I got it all wired. Forget it. Bitterness. Love, forgiveness, right? Come on, remember these are contrasting things. We learned about this on Wednesday night. Contrast. So bitterness, forgiveness, right? I kind of sum up, I'm a recovering Pharisee, And so what's a recovering Pharisee? A gracious giver. Because a Pharisee is like this, How about envy and jealousy? What happens with envy and jealousy? What do? You covet, right? Okay. And are you happy that somebody else has something? No. So envy and jealousy, contempt, right? You have a contempt towards something. Oh, content, yes, content. But you're right. Contempt towards somebody, contentment. Good. Humble, right? A humble man and woman cannot be put down because they're already down. They're already there. Can't put a humble person down. So what part of self is worth defending? Defend truth and then get over your bad self. Operate with a set of principles. Live out value system that reflects Christ's character. There's a song that says, if you wanted me to be like you, why'd you make me like me? Because it says you're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. And anything that's conformed is what? It's like this, and it's got to be conformed over here. Paul says in Galatians, he says, I am in prayer and consternation until Christ is formed in you. I always get this picture of like the transporter in Star Trek, when they're coming on board. What do you look like? How much of this formed looks like Jesus, or it's just kind of a mess. That's what it means by being conformed in the image of Christ. So let's go back over these, okay? You've got to move in the opposite spirit of what is coming at you. So if accusation comes at you, it's bless those that persecute you, bless those that curse you. Pride, humility, okay? Bitterness, forgiveness, okay? Envy and jealousy, contentment, okay? So how many are recovering Pharisees in here? Don't raise your hand. Jesus was the hardest on the Pharisees because he says, you're so close and yet you're so far, and you go half halfway around the world to convert somebody and make them twice as fit for hell. So, operate with a set of principles, live out your own value system that reflects Christ's character, and be conformed to Jesus' image, not ours. And the way that you do it, how do you develop a muscle? You come against the resistance, right? It's the same thing, spiritual muscle. Jesus was bound to set us free. He was made sin so that we might become righteousness. Accusation comes at you, bless those that curse you. Pride comes at you, don't be prideful, you gotta be humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Bitterness comes at you, be bitter back, right? No, have to forgive. And so on. So, just in that one little verse, look at that. That a dispensation of fullness of times. You know, God's got his household, and he's managing the household way more than this lady is doing on a weekly basis. And that he's gathering us together in one, all things in Christ, and he's doing it in heaven and on earth. Okay? I remember old Keith Green song that says, if God made this in 6 days, and Jesus has been working on heaven for 2,000 years, we're living in a garbage dump down here. Has he been working on that one for 2,000 years up there? So he's a good carpenter. All right, that's it for this week. There's your verse. So close your Bibles, and we'll pray. And I promise you, we don't have to rush through this, you know that, but it starts picking up. This first chapter is a lot of real foundational things that, you know, being sealed, being a guarantee of your inheritance, wisdom and revelation, the mystery like we talked about last week, a lot of foundational stuff, and then it starts moving on. So. Well, Father, we just pray. Just this one little verse, there's a lot in there. And Lord, I look at that picture of that lady, and that is a lot of work for one person in 1 week. And I can imagine the work that you're doing over all these periods of time. And I just pray that we would go along with your plan and not be contrary to it. And Lord, when you look for people to gather together, I just pray that each one of us are set free from the effects of sin and bondage, and that we recognize that it's now and not yet, and we are one to you by the one, because Jesus is the head and everything centers around him in the work on the cross, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, for winning for us the opposite of what you suffered for us. Help us to appreciate that. I don't think we think about that so much, Lord. We're very thankful, but to really recognize that in order for setting us free and to be made righteous and to be healed and to live and to be blessed and have our prayers answered, you had to experience everything opposite of that so that we could experience that. So I just really pray that we reflect on that this week. Things that you did, the things that you won for us, is the opposite of the things that you suffered for us. So Lord, bless our tithes and offerings. Thank you for a new month. Thank you that we're gainfully employed. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with another year, a new year starting here. And Lord, I just really pray that we focus on Thanksgiving. I've always loved Thanksgiving. And to really look at the freedoms that we have and the pilgrims coming over, and Lord, all that we don't lose it in Black Friday and going shopping afterwards. Lord, that we really focus on the blessings and the great gifts that you've given us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.